Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. Then it's obvious that circumcision was part of the bondage that they was going to be entangled again. For I testify again, verse 3, to every man that is circumcised, he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. Now, Paul's writing to the people of Galatia there, and you go back and you think about the Apostle Paul and how he visited that region in there, and probably went there twice. And in his absence, there was some teachers that came from Palestine. They were called Judaizers. And they would try to convert people to Judaism. And Judaism was that you'd have to be circumcised and keep the law, or you could not be saved. Now, just turn down a page there in Galatians and turn over with me to Acts and look in Acts chapter 15. In Acts chapter 15. In Acts chapter 15, verse 1, you see these men at work. In other words, Paul had went to Galatians, and there he preached the gospel unto these people, and they had got saved, and they were justified. But there were some men that came there and said, well, you can't be really saved if you're not circumcised to keep the law. Now notice in chapter 15, verse 1 of Acts, and certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain others should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. And you have this, and Paul reaccounts this, what happened in Acts 15, in Galatians chapter 2. And so he writes to these people, and he's beginning to tell them about your liberty. And he says there in verse 4, he said, Christ has become of no effect unto you, back in Galatians chapter 5. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. And that's the only place in the Bible that it refers to fallen from grace. And it's not that they've fallen out of salvation, they're fallen from grace. In other words, it was the grace that had justified them. It was the grace that had saved them. But they had left that and went back to the law and was being circumcised, and they were being proselyted, so to speak. And they were saying, well, I got to be circumcised and keep the law or I'm really not saved. And Paul said to them, and notice these things when he writes to them. Look back with me in verse... chapter 3. In chapter 3 of Galatians, he said in verse 1, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ had been evidently set forth crucified among you? Then he goes and he talks about them being bewitched. And he said in verse 2, this only would I learn of you, receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are ye now made perfect by the flesh? And why would he say made perfect by the flesh? Because the flesh had to keep the law. And it was work. And they're saying that you got to do something or you're not saved. And what that does, Christ becomes of no effect. What He did on the cross, is they're saying it's not enough. What He did on the cross is not enough to save you. You've got to do something else. And they're preaching another gospel. And that's what He says in verse chapter 1. He said in chapter 1, He said in verse 6, I marvel that you are so soon removed from Him that called you into the grace of Christ, there's the liberty, unto another gospel. What is that other gospel that they were preaching? That Christ, it would be like preaching the death of Christ, but you got to keep the law and be baptized or circumcised, or you're not saved. In other words, the death of Christ is not enough for your salvation. That's what they're preaching. That's what people preach today. You hear them on the television. I heard one this morning. You hear these men. And they'll preach the cross, but then they turn around and say, except you be baptized, you can't be saved. You've got to believe in the cross, but that's not enough. And you've got to do these ceremonial things or you're not saved. Folks, they're falling from grace. It's not what Paul's preached. It's another gospel. What is it? He said in verse 6-7, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. And that word pervert there is translated in Acts 2:20 as turned. In other words, they turn, like Jude said, they turn the grace of God into lasciviousness, which is a work of the flesh. And they add works to it. When Paul said, it's by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And Paul said to Titus, he said, it's not according to the works, our works of righteousness which we have done that He saved us. And folks, your works is not what earns you. Your salvation is not earned. It's not a reward that God gives you for being good. Salvation is not something that you gain when you die because you lived a good life on this earth. Salvation is a gift that God provides for you. And He provided that gift in His Son. And His Son died on the cross for your sins. And if you trust that, you can have eternal life, which is the gift of God. But you can't earn it. And you can't do nothing to gain it. It's simply free. Now I want to talk to you about some things. We in the grace movement, we talk about the grace movement. I don't know what that is. But anyway, we as Bible believing Christians are free. And there's a lot of people that when they see this, they just go wild. And so the other crowd, they look at us and they say, well, you believe in eternal security, you believe in this, why, you believe you can live any old way and blah, 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 nothing's wrong. And that's what I want to deal with about it. I want you to understand your freedom that you have in Christ. Now look at this thing about it. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Now you're free. Now you know what freedom is? Freedom is being free from any restraint. There's nothing that restrains you. There's nothing that is binding you. You're free. You had a choice today. Your choice was, do I go to church or do I stay at home? And you made the right choice. I'm glad you're here. But everybody, You have a choice. We live as saved individuals in a world, and I believe Robbie quoted the verse where Paul said, "The love of Christ constraineth us, we thus judge." And that love that He had for us was manifested on the cross, and because of what He's did for us, that's why that motivates us for our service for Him. And I'm free. I'm not bound down by some commandments religious system has put on me. I don't have no demands that I've got to meet in order to meet the criteria of some church. There are no guidelines here. We don't send out, as I read one about a church, send out things and you have to sign like a contract in order that you're going to be there and support it. I'll have that junk. Why? I want people here because they love the Lord. You understand? For what the Lord did for them. And the motive behind your service for the Lord ought to be your love for the Lord. Not to gain anything, but because of what He's did for you. That's freedom. Now look at this thing about this freedom, and because I'm free and I have knowledge of certain things, I can do certain things. But I choose not to do certain things because it's going to affect somebody else that might not have the knowledge that I've got, and it ends up hurting them. Then my liberty becomes a stumbling block to other believers. Are y'all with me? In other words, when you're saved by the grace of God, God sets you free. You're like a bird out of a prison. He's not going to just bop you over the head because you don't do certain things. You're free. But you ought to do the certain things because you love Him. Because He did set you free. Are y'all there? Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, notice what he said in verse 1. Now as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up. People get a little knowledge about them and they get built up pride. I know it all. Okay, but charity edified. If any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know. If any man love God, the same is known of him. In other words, if you love the Lord, it's known that you love the Lord. Come down to verse, let's read, howbeit, verse 7. Howbeit, there is not in every man that knowledge. For some with conscience of an idol unto this hour eat it as a thing offered unto an idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled. Now your liberty goes as far as your conscience will let it go. Now here's the thing that he's talking about. Here's some people that would offer meat. Let's just say they'd kill a hog. And they'd offer that hog to Jupiter, a god out there, an idol. Then after the ceremony, then that hog there and that tenderloin and all that ham and all that stuff's laying there, and they say, "Man, no use letting this go to waste. We'll take it and we'll sell it." Okay. Here comes along, here's a believer, and hey, I'll take some of that, and I'll take some of that. Do you know that's offered to an idol? And that believer says, care. Ain't no idol to me. There's only one God anyway. I'm not eating it for an idol. I'm eating it because it's good. And here's another believer, and he can't get past that. He's weak. He doesn't have that knowledge. It's like I could get out, I know Sunday is not a holy day. It's no more holier than Monday. Every day is a day of grace. The Sabbath day is Saturday under the law. Well, I could get out and I could mow my yard on Sunday and it wouldn't bother me a bit. But there are other believers that can't do that because they just, ooh, man, this Sunday, this ain't right, man. No, no. Their conscience, you see what I'm saying? So you get in the picture. There are certain things that your conscience won't let you do. And then there are things that I can do that don't bother me. There are certain things that you can do that I can't do that bother me. Now look what he said. He said, verse 8, "But meat commendeth us not to God." In other words, if you eat it, you ain't going to get closer to God. If you don't eat it, it don't. He said, "If we eat, are we the better? Neither if we eat not, are we the worse?" It ain't going to change one fact about you, whether you eat or you don't. Verse 9, "But take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak." Well, how is that? "For if any man see thee which hath knowledge sit at meat in the idol's temple." In other words, you're going in there. They've done offered this meat to the idol. It's in his temple and everything. They're deciding they're going to eat it. You want to buy a meal. You go there. You pay your ticket. You go in there and you're sitting down. You're eating this meat. Somebody said, "Well, that's an idol's temple. That's in the temple." Yeah. I know an idol ain't nothing. I'm doing it. Now look what he said. "Shall not the conscience of him that is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idol?" In other words, well, if old Brian can do it, I can too. And he goes in there, if it's all right with Brian to do it, and he goes in there and he eats and his conscience is wounded. Because he don't know why I'm that way. Look down verse where? Verse 11, "And through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish." That's not going to hell. That's not losing his salvation. That's his conscience bothered. "Perish for whom Christ died. But when ye sin so against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, ye sin against Christ." You led that guy in there through your knowledge and you knew he was weak and you said, "Oh, come on. Oh, it ain't nothing. Like me mowing the yard and somebody come out, man, come on, mow a yard out here on Sunday. Sunday ain't nothing but just another day. Get out here and do that." And you lead that man in there and he does it and his conscience bothers him because he doesn't have that knowledge. You've wounded that man. You. Your liberty can cause people to stumble. Verse 13, "Wherefore if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend." Now look back in Romans chapter 14, you'll see the thing come together again. In verse 19, Romans 14:19, "Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and the things wherewith one may edify another. For meat destroyeth not the work of God. All things indeed are pure. But it is evil for that man who eateth with offense." If it offends you, if something you do bothers you, then don't do it. I don't care who's doing it. The best way to keep your conscience clear is just don't do anything that bothers your conscience. Can I have an amen right there? I heard that today on television. I thought that was pretty good. Come down to verse 21.
He said, it is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Do it. I mean, you know, have it to yourself. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in the thing which he allows, which he does. If you condemn yourself, then don't do it. Verse 23, and he that doubteth is damned if he eat. Not damned to hell, destroyed it, wounded his conscience, if he eat, because he eateth not of faith, for whatsoever is not of faith is what? Sin. Your liberty can wound you, it can condemn you, and cause you to sin, it can cause others to sin, so you've got to watch how you live, folks. And if the thing condemns you, don't do it. It doesn't matter if you see me doing it or see somebody else doing it. If it bothers you, you don't do it. And you'll honor the Lord. Now, took over in 1 Corinthians again, chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Liberty. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, notice in verse 29. Talking about this conscience again. Look back in verse 23, I'm sorry. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's well. Whatsoever is sold in shambles, that eat, ask to no questions for conscience sake. They had real problems back then about the offering things and then turning around and having a meal after the thing. People was going in there eating, and then some saw them going in there eating, and they saw the ones going in there eating that meat that was offered to idols. And those that was going in there said, man, there ain't no idol. We serving the God of heaven. And we was eating the meat. We give us what it was offered, this good meat. And then others was wounding their conscience, and some had knowledge, some didn't. Same way it is today. I've seen them in religion, and they get saved, but while they was under a religious system, they never missed a service. They paid their tithes, I mean 10% and more. They didn't go to movies. They didn't do nothing. They did everything and they lived like that. And when they got to seeing the grace and they were free, they just went wild. They quit coming. They quit giving. They quit doing anything. And they said, I'm free. I'm free. Well, you're not free to live like you want to live. How you live affects people, and it affects you. I feel like either y'all stayed up and watched that stupid basketball game, and you're waiting on another to come on the day. Because we're not on the same page right now. Ain't this something? I've been preaching for 30-some years. I know when you're getting it and when you're not. And I know where you went. I wish I'd shut up. Now look at this thing. I want you to see what you're free from. Now the question is not whether it's all right to do something. The question is, will it hurt my brother or my conscience when I do it? Turn with me to 1 Timothy. In 1 Timothy. Verse 1, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. They're out there seducing the body of Christ. What's our purpose in seducing them? To get them to depart from the faith. Speaking lies and hypocrisy. That's what their doctrines of devils are. Having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Now I want to tell you something. You can get to the place where your conscience don't bother you. It's not that it don't bother you, just don't pay no attention to it. And your liberty in Christ is not a license just to go on and do, but it's a license of freedom to serve the Lord and not be entangled and trying to accomplish what He accomplished for you in the flesh. And that's the whole thing of freedom. Now what is the restraint? Freedom is free from restraint. What would be the restraint? The law. Look with me and look in second. Let's look at why you're there and go right there at Galatians. Look back in Galatians. What's the purpose of the law? Everything's about the law in Galatians chapter 3. Notice in verse 19. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgression till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. What is wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgression. Your transgression. Look down in verse 24. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster. Schoolmaster's the teacher. To bring us unto Christ that we might be justified by faith. Now folks, the teacher, he taught us. What did he teach us? What sin is. That we're a sinner. That we need to be saved. And Jesus Christ is that Savior. There's no way. Listen, I've used the law. I've used it many times about the speed law. If there was no speed law out there on 21, you'd never know whenever you were sinning. But there's a law. It says 55. You go over 55, you know you're breaking the law. But you know something? That speed limit never pays the fine. It only tells you that you've broken the law. The law doesn't pay the fine. You've got to pay the fine. Or what are you going to pay it with? You have nothing to pay it with. So Jesus Christ came and paid it for you. Amen. And you accept that. We're, notice the restraint is the law. The purpose of the law. Notice why you're there in Galatians there in chapter 3. Notice something, what we're free about the law. Number one, we're free from the curse of the law. Galatians 3:10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things that are, which are written in the book of the law to do them. Folks, if you're trying to keep the law for your salvation, you're under a curse. If men preach today that I'm keeping the golden rule and doing the best I can, I'm trying to keep the commandments to get to heaven, you're under the curse of that law. That law can't do nothing for you but condemn you when you break it. And everybody breaks it. Everybody has broke it. But look with me down in verse 13. He says in verse 13, He said, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on the tree. Everything that the law condemns, condemn Christ. The curse of the law. Christ was made a curse for us. Isn't that wonderful? We're free. We're free from the curse of the law. I don't have to keep the law. Look at it also, we're free from the law's condemnation. Looking over there in Romans. In Romans chapter 8. We're not only free from the curse of the law, we're free from the condemnation of the law. in chapter 8, Romans chapter 8, verse 1. In Romans 8, 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You know what walking after... Now, Pentecostals say that's walking after the Spirit, being filled with the Spirit. If you're not filled with the Spirit, you're walking in the flesh. Baloney. In the context of that verse, walking after the flesh is trying to gain God's favor by keeping the law. Look what he said in verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Now watch it. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, my flesh, your flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. In other words, folks, we couldn't accomplish nothing in our flesh. Our flesh is weak. We can't keep the law. We can't have the righteousness of the law. What? How would you get the righteousness of the law? You'd have to live a perfect life. You never could break any of God's law. And if you broke one, James said you're guilty of breaking them all. So there's no hope for us. Our flesh is weak. We can't keep the law. So God sent forth His Son in likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of God of the law might be fulfilled in us. Folks, there is no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. We're free from the condemnation. The law can't look at you and say you're a guilty sinner because you broke the law. Why? That condemnation was put on Christ. Now watch the thing. He said, and walk in the Spirit of light. Look down in verse 4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh. That's trying to accomplish the keeping of the law by the deeds of the body, but after the Spirit. Turn with me and look at this thing in Galatians. In Galatians again in chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Over and over you see this thing. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. In Galatians 5:13, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. And that's what we've been talking about. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now how in the world? Look in verse 17. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary one to another, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. How in the world do we walk after the flesh? Notice verse 24. Walk after the Spirit. Verse 24, and they that are in are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. How in the world do you walk in the Spirit? I mean, what is he talking about there? I mean, is he talking about some you see today? Some jibber jabberish and always folks, what is he saying? Well, look with me and turn to Romans, and let's just compare Scripture with Scripture. We're free from the condemnation. Look in Romans chapter 6. In Romans chapter 6, notice what he said. And by the way, this brings me to my third thing. We're not only free from the condemnation, there is none. we're not only free from his curse, we're free from the law's concern. Well, what is the law's concern? Sin. Look what he says in Romans chapter 6. In verse 6. Knowing this, the old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Now watch it. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Look in verse 20. For when ye were servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. Now that you are righteous, then you would be freed from sin. That's the law's concern. It was given to show us our transgression. The concern of the law is to show you you're a sinner. I'm free from that. Look in Romans chapter 7. You're there, it's chapter 7. Notice in verse 4. Romans chapter 7, verse 4. How are we free from it? We're dead. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, and even to him is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. Look in chapter 10 of Romans. In Romans chapter 10, verse 4. In Romans chapter 10, verse 4, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. I'm dead to the law. I'm free from sin. Why? How am I free from sin? It's the law that points the sin out. And that law was nailed to the cross. And that law is what put Christ on that cross. And he went there and the law judged him. And he died. He had no sin to die for. He died for your sin. And you were in Christ. God saw and identified you on that cross, dying for your sins. The law, the prosecutor, put you to death. Guilty. I'm in Christ. Look at this thing. So what is it the law's concern? Well, verse 11, how we walk. How we walk in the Spirit. Well, I'm dead. The old man is crucified. I'm buried. But that don't stop there. What's the next thing about me? Huh? Resurrection. And when I was raised, that's newness of life. Look in Romans chapter 6. Notice what he said in verse Romans 6, where verse 7, for he that is dead is free from sin. Okay, I'm dead right here. By the body of Christ. I'm put to death in Christ. I'm judged by the law. No more can happen to me. No wonder Paul said in Romans 8, who is he that condemneth? There is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh, after the flesh trying to keep the law, when all the law can do is condemn you, but after the Spirit. Well, look at walking in the Spirit. Verse 6, 8. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we all shall also live with Him. Knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over Him. Now, same thing for you. Death has no dominion over you. That's why I keep harping over and over and over again, Christians that are in Christ never die. You'll never experience the pain of death. That ought to be something to say amen about. Look what he said, verse 10. For in that he died, Christ, he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth, he liveth unto God. So here he is, he's up here, he's made sin, as Robbie brought out. He's on that cross, he dies unto sin once. That's it. Verse 11. But he liveth. Verse 11, and here we are. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. You reckon, you count it. You count it. It's a mathematical, you reckon it. It's, I count it. I died. I'm dead. The law's done all it can do to me. Reckon you also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's walking in newness of life. Look back in chapter, the verse there. In verse 1, chapter 6, Romans. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Folks, that's knowledge that the general religious system don't never give to their people. That's being free. You're free from the curse. Jesus Christ was made a curse for you. You're free from the condemnation of the law. And you're free from the concern of the law in Christ. But look what he said there in verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? It's His death. Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death. Not water. Ain't a drop of water in Romans 6. It's into death. Buried with Him, verse 3 and 4, therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of God the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together, us and Christ, in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. You know what walking in the Spirit is? It's walking with the knowledge that I've died, I've been buried, and I've arose with Christ. It's that knowledge that sin has no more dominion over me. It's that knowledge, walking in the Spirit, that Jesus Christ accomplished everything for me to have eternal life. That's walking in the Spirit. It's not rolling in the aisles and jumping pews and slobbering and falling out and fainting and all of that stuff that goes on today. It's walking in the knowledge of what Christ did for you, and understand that I'm free. And because of it, I serve Him out of love. And I don't want to hurt people. Amen. Well, y'all go home and get tuned up for the rest of the games. Maybe this will be over. When does it end? We got